Day one of SEC Media Days, normally under Brian Kelly, led to a situation where a lot of things were about LSU, right? A lot of things were about LSU because LSU normally went at SEC Media Days on Monday. But on Thursday, you and I had a conversation. The conversation was, knock, 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 LSU fans, be ready, because the first thing that's going to come with SEC Media Days is people are going to come out and say it's playoff, national title, or bust. I don't truly believe that personally. I don't think majority of you do either. I think you want to get there, but I still think that there's a lot of logic saying that in a year one of a head coach, with a schedule that you have, it is going to be difficult. I don't think a lot of you are there. But the reality of it is that starting SEC Media Days, a lot of things are going to revolve around LSU. And wouldn't you know it, the Rudy Poos came out of the woodwork. Chase Daniel, Jordan Rogers, and I say Rudy Poos endearly, or Peter Burns, all coming out and having issues with what LSU's doing. And if they don't do X, Y should happen. And like, I don't know if y'all saw this, but the other day, I think it was Sunday, Feinbaum came out and said, well, if Lane Kiffin doesn't make the playoffs, he should be fired. You're doing it for clicks. You're doing it for awareness. You're doing it to say, hey, oh, I know what all of you just said. Look at me. That's what he was trying to say. You were warned on Thursday. The warning that was given to you was a simple one. They are going to come out with the more clickbaity kind of things. And yet, when LSU goes in to Tampa on Thursday, the realistic nature of what they actually have to talk about with LSU is, bro, they're probably going to be pretty freaking good on the field. Now, the problem that I've had with starting off with Media Days, no, it's not Josh Heupel, even though I do think that there's a lot of unhinged Tennessee fans that will take him very realistic, go to their local Kroger and get a whole bunch of mustard to throw at Lane Kiffin sometime in November. It's not even really Josh Heupel. It's not really, really Chase Daniels. It's not even really Peter Burns. Hell, it's not even Feinbaum. It's the simple nature that LSU wasn't there at all. And yet everything, not everything, but majority of things revolved around them. You know, if you notice at SEC Media Days today, when a commercial break or you're not talking about a team, they always circled back to LSU. They always circled back to the simple nature of what everybody wants to talk about. It's you. Welcome. Welcome. But I promise you, come Thursday, whether Bertha hits our ass or not, get Big Bertha, Big Backup out of here. By the way, I hope all of you are going to be okay during Bertha if Bertha does make landfall. But get that Big Back Bertha out of here. Don't want to hear about a tropical depression. Don't want to hear about a tropical storm. Knock on wood that it doesn't hurt or affect anybody. But Big Back Bertha needs to get up out of here. It's a simple reality. You may very well be the face of the SEC right now. When Lane Kiffin decided to come from Ole Miss to LSU, all of the talking points are going to surround you. Whether it is Peter Burns, who said that he was upset that Sam Leavitt was not going to be at SEC Media Days, why? The two team captains that were on the team last year are going to be there in Trey Des Green and Whit Weeks. Lane gave you the reasons as to why T.J. Dottery is going to be at SEC Media Days. And guys, quite honestly, I back him 1,000%. Because what is he telling everybody on that team? Who he brought to SEC Media Days sent a message to everybody on the team more than it sends to anybody else. It doesn't matter what you think, like The Rock. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what the nation thinks. Lane has said over and over and over again that he is trying to send messages to his team. Because if we can't come together on this hollow ground, as the great coach Herman Boone once said, if we can't come together, Guys, you're not going to be able to go through this brutal season. So what is the message that Lane Kiffin is sending his team? He could have easily brought Jordan Seaton. He could have easily brought Sam Levin. He could have easily brought any number of players that had massive springs. But he brought TJ Dottery. And he told you why. He told you why in the simple nature of that, listen, this guy went through a lot. Somebody did some very vile things to him. The guy that did those vile things to him went to prison. Went to prison. And TJ is the model of what we built at Ole Miss and what we are trying to now accomplish at LSU. What message is he sending? He told you less than 2 months ago why he would bring TJ Dottery. He told you less than 2 months ago, we are going to use guys like Prince Will. We are going to use guys like TJ, who have been a part of our culture before, to establish the culture now. So what are you doing? You're bringing in the two guys that quite honestly stayed in Tre'Davious Green and Whit Weeks that has the foundation of the culture. You also bring the guy that's been with you. And quite honestly, I don't know if Lane believes this or not. I don't know the man like that to ask him the question of, hey, did you bring TJ Dottery because he was loyal to you? Did you bring him because he left Ole Miss and came with you? I don't know if he'll ever admit that. And even if he doesn't, but if he does, there is something to talk about loyalty. There's something that comes out of him being loyal and saying, I know what Lane is about. I know what he's trying to build. And I want to be a part of that. And he's brought all of that up to you. The most emotional thing that Lane Kiffin has said in his time as the head coach of LSU was revolved around TJ Dottery. So whether you want to talk about who he brought, who he didn't bring, whether you want to talk about LSU potentially having to leave out of Baton Rouge as Big Bertha's big back having ass is going to be hitting the state of Louisiana, none of that matters. The reality of what Peter Burns, who was upset clearly this morning in reference to Sam Levin not being there, it doesn't matter. He's trying to send a message. And here's the truth. When you get into the season, when you get into November, when you get into December, you ain't going to remember who's at SEC Media Days. You're not going to remember. What you really remember is how Lane built the culture and what he did on how he got his team to December. That's the only thing that matters. Now, the big elephant in the room is what we talked about Thursday. You were prepared for it. You should have been prepared for it. Is that you have guys like Jordan Rodgers, Chase Daniels, Paul Feinbaum saying that if LSU does not go into a playoff year one, then it's a bust. I don't agree with that. Now, some of you can say that you do agree with that, that you agree that if they don't make a playoff in year one, that it underachieved. I don't believe you. I don't believe that you actually believe that, because I don't either. Kurt Cignetti changed the game by going to a playoff in year one. He changed the game by winning a national title in year two. It's not undoable. And I'm not saying that I don't believe that LSU can't do it, because I believe deep into my heart that there is a chance that LSU very well could make the playoff this year. Believe that they can. But I look at this situation and say it won't be a bust, because you know what you didn't bring up all day? What you didn't bring up all day was that there's two teams last year that literally spent more money than LSU. There are two teams that last year and even this year currently that are still spending more money than LSU. You know, there are reports coming out that Ohio State spent $50 million on their roster. There are reports that are coming out that Texas spent $50 million on their roster last year and this year. Texas didn't make the playoff. Texas did not make the playoff. No question about it. They didn't make it. Now, do I believe that they should, even though they went 9-3? 1,000%. Guys, they beat Texas A&M. They beat Oklahoma, and they beat a top 15 Vandy team. They beat three teams in the top 15. They beat a team, that, two teams that were actually in the playoff. Oh, but they lost to Ohio State. Oh, but they lost to the SEC champion in Georgia. Oh, but they lost to a seven draftee Florida. I'm with you. I get it. They beat Oklahoma on the field. Why aren't you talking about Sark? What if Sark goes 9-3 again? They're only focused at Lane because of how it ended at Ole Miss. You know, when Sark left Alabama for Texas, no one said that, well, he shouldn't have left Alabama. You know, no other coach is being looked at the way that Lane is because no one gets the clicks. And the more viral you can go by saying either national title or bust, which is what Jordan Rodgers said, we'll get to him in a minute, whether it's playoffs or bust, I don't believe that. I look at the schedule and say, could I see Ole Miss being a playoff team? Yep. Could I see Texas A&M being a playoff team? I do. Could I see Alabama and Texas being a playoff team? Well, that's four. Yeah. And guys, the ACC is so trash water. It is the dookie water of a conference. They are the juices of Bourbon Street dumpster water. When you pour it out and you're trying to dump it out, they're the juices. That's how bad their conference is. Gus, Clemson won it 2 years ago with a roster that wasn't that great. Now, I don't believe that Clemson's going to be that good because Miami is still there. But you get what I'm saying. Their schedule's not easy. It did get a little bit easier today, though, that Will Stein said he's not going to be helping Joe Sloan call plays. Oh, that ain't going to take long. Hold on. Pause. Time. Sidebar. That ain't going to take long. Joe Sloan ain't going to be calling plays for Kentucky. Ain't happening. Ain't happening. They'll get three or four games into it, and they can't move the ball. It will change. Ain't happening. Regardless of that, when I look at Jordan Rodgers saying it's national title or bust, says who? Because LSU boosters aren't saying that. LSU boosters know what it's going to take to get to a playoff just right now. They know what it's going to take to get to a national title. They understand it. If you don't spend, you don't even have a chance. Are there massive expectations for you, in my humble opinion, more than any team in the country? Yes. Name a team in the country right now that has more expectations on them than LSU. Because it's not public. Gus, LSU didn't even go to SEC Media Days today. And you have Feinbaum. You have Jordan Rodgers. You have Chase Daniels. All talking about that if they don't do that, it is a bust. I could say the same for Texas. I could say the same for Kalen DeBoer that if he doesn't get there at Alabama. I could say the same thing for Ryan Day. I could say the same thing to some extent about Oregon. But yet your main focus is around one program and one team. So, as an LSU fan, how do we take that? There's only one way to take that. It's not sitting here and watching social media and why as Big Bertha and our big back keeps coming in, going to be hitting Louisiana. I hope all of you are going to be okay. Everyone does not like Big Back Bertha. Welcome to being arguably the biggest face in college football. Because, guys, I don't know how else to put it other than to say that you are. You won't be at SEC Media Days until Thursday. And yet, so many things still revolved around you. Now, that might sound narcissistic. That might sound, well, Blake, the only thing you see is LSU. Guys, I cover the sport as a whole. What are you talking about? Nobody has more expectations than you. But where I disagree from the things that I heard today around LSU, number one, to Chase Daniel, he only talked about the offense. He only pointed out offensive things surrounding LSU. You have no idea what they have on their defense. You didn't even bring it up in your segment. You didn't talk about a high riser in Ty Benefield. You didn't talk about Deuce Gerald's killing everything. You didn't talk about DJ Pickett. You didn't talk about the linebacker core. You didn't talk about Blake Baker taking a defense from the hundreds to the top 30s. And with an anemic offense that could barely get past the 50-yard line last year, they basically won them seven games. What happens now with Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss and Sam Levitt and Jordan Seaton and that wide receiver core and Dylan Jones being there? You didn't bring that up. If I didn't know any better, I would assume that LSU is only going to play offense this year. In reference to Jordan Rodgers, buddy, I'm sorry, do what now? Either go to a national title or bust? No one around here is saying that. No one around here believes that. No one around here thinks that. So what is the ultimate conclusion? When you don't know the pulse of the place, don't talk about the place. But when I look at LSU, forgetting the outside noise for just a moment, every game that you will play this year will be a pressure cooker. Going into the season versus Clemson, week three versus Ole Miss will be probably the highest of pressure cookers. A&M coming in the next week. You have McNeese in between there. I get this. But then you got Mississippi State. Then you have Kentucky. Then you have Auburn. Then you go into a very brutal stretch of your season where you have Bama, where you have Texas, where you have Tennessee, and you got to go to there, even though I don't know if Chester Boucher was trying to start a riot, but Josh Heupel making the tongue-in-cheek comment that, hey, I hope that all stores fill up with mustard and golf balls that week. Guys, he was joking. Now, as I tweeted, did he just try to start a riot? It's going to be difficult. This season's not going to be easy. But every single week, every single snap, every single moment, you will be everybody's focus. If I had to assume this season, when it comes to TV ratings, guys, you very well could have six games in the top 25. Half of your season's going to be the most watched games of all season. Week one, you're really the only standalone game on that Saturday at night in Death Valley versus Clemson. Everybody and their mama is going to watch you versus Ole Miss. If you win, they're going to definitely be tuned in for the next week versus A&M, who potentially could be a playoff team. And if you lose, they're going to be hate watching. No one outside of the boot truly wants you to succeed. That is what you should walk away from it. When you go in there versus Bama, when you go in there versus Texas, when you go in there and got to go to Knoxville, everybody's going to be hate watching you. You know, when Lane Kiffin was hired, I stated, there's one thing that you must do. There's one thing that if he's going to be your head coach that you must do. Because everybody's mad right now. Probably because it's not them. They hate us because they ain't us. But the one thing that you must do, embrace this villain role. I don't know why people shy away from saying, embrace the villain role. You're seeing what they're doing. They have no love for you. They don't care about you. They're hate watching you. Well, go and take it to that ass. Excuse me. Go and take it to that ass. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters, are you bringing in good players? Are you out there winning games? Are you building a good culture? Do you have a good offense? Do you have a good defense? Are you winning the games that you're supposed to? It's the only thing that matters. Because we talked about what was going to happen in the beginning part of this. Everybody's going to focus in on you. They're going to say it's playoffs or bust. Natties are bust. Now, I'm going to prophesy the end of the week. At the end of the week, what they're going to say is, yeah, there's a lot of expectations going on at LSU, but man, they got a really good team. When Lane Kiffin gets there and he's face-to-face with all of these people, boy, I guarantee you those tunes are going to change. Paul Feinbaum's tune will change if Lane even does his whatever you call what he's doing now. But now I got a third thing. The third thing that's going to happen, the third thing, and this is, God forbid you make the playoff. God forbid LSU finds themselves at 9-3 and finding their way into the playoffs because the SEC went to a 9-game conference schedule. God forbid LSU finds themselves at 10-2 and automatically in because their SEC team with how difficult their schedule was. God forbid LSU goes 11-1, and God forbid that 11-1 gets them into an SEC championship game in year one under Lane Kiffin. Because the Bayou ain't going to be quiet. Nor should it. If you're going to be on the bandwagon, you better hop on it now. I think this is a good team. I think when people look at LSU, they want to bring the clout for the clicks. Bring the clout for the clicks. There's no on-field football talk. What was the main talking points today about LSU? What was the main point talking points on Sunday about LSU? The main talking points were Jordan Seaton, Sam Levitt, Lane Kiffin, Charlie Weiss. Guys, if LSU is going to get to a playoff, you better start talking about that offensive line and run game. You better start talking about that wide receiver core. You better talk about your defensive front, which who knows what that defensive front is going to be. You better talk about Ty Benefield. You better talk about that secondary. Because here's the real truth. Even though the quarterback position, and tomorrow you and I are going to do a segment, it's called Who is Sam Levitt? And I'll give you a little bit of a preview of it. See, people forget last year what Sam Levitt did. Like, they forget that Sam Levitt, on the road, with everything crumbling around him, had to lead his team to a fourth quarter victory over TCU. When everything around him was crumbling, or how he had to do it against Texas Tech, or how he had to do it against Baylor, or how he had to do it against this week or that week. Do you remember how good he was before he got hurt? No, the only thing that you focus in on is him being hurt. You don't talk about Arch. You don't talk about Texas with the same expectations and realistically what should be their expectations. You know, the expectations that LSU currently has and that everybody is trying to push for the clicks in the narrative literally should be going on Texas. How many years has Sark been there? How much money are they spending? Because every single little thing that you mentioned today, they have Arch Manning, they have Cam Coleman, they have Ryan Wingo, they have four offensive linemen that everybody thinks is really good. They believe that they're going to have a good running game. They have Colin Simmons. They bring back a lot in their secondary. They went in the portal and got two really good linebackers. What's the problem? Oh, they've had multiple top 10, top 5 recruiting classes producing through high school. That is the expectation that should be for them, not you when you had to go get 60-plus players on your roster. By Thursday, when Big Bertha and her big-ass back is out of here, the narrative's going to change. Because I don't really think they're going to talk about you a lot tomorrow. I don't really think they're going to talk a lot about you on Wednesday, other than some snide comments that, well, LSU's here tomorrow. LSU is going to be here tomorrow. Of course they're going to be here. At the end of the week, everyone's going to be talking about how good of a team you are. Now, we will talk about here tonight. We got to get to some of the things that Greg Sankey stated because it's a massive deal. We will talk about that. We will talk about the schedule updates surrounding LSU. Lane's told you what was going to happen. It really ties into what Greg Sankey had to say about the 9-game conference schedule and everything surrounding that. But at the end of the week, everyone's going to talk about how good of a team you are because at some point, reality is going to set in. At some point, reality for everybody around the country, when the clicks don't matter anymore, the reality will start setting in. This is going to be a really damn good football team. I believe it. I think a lot of you believe it. And we'll see. The last thing I'd say here is, why did you wait to put Lane Kiffin on Thursday? Why did you wait to put Lane Kiffin on Thursday? Is it because you want people to stay tuned in to the SEC Media Days? Is that it? Because that's what it seems like. We'll get some coaches in and out. Mondays are always big, so we'll bring in Venables. We'll bring in Heupel. We'll bring in Drinkwitz. Nobody cares about what those dudes are going to say. Then you'll bring in Kirby. You'll bring in DeBoer. You'll bring in Elko. Okay. You'll bring in Golding. Names of playoffs, potential programs. You want everybody locked in on Thursday. You know it. And I know it. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the... Not hitting the big back of Big Bertha, that's for damn sure. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups by using the YouTube link on Facebook. Share to all your social media pages. If you're watching us, listening to us on YouTube, We are getting really close as we continue to gain. This football season is upon us. Do us a favor, subscribe down below if you have not done so. Hit the notification bell as well. We are on our path to hitting the 20,000 subs before the college football season starts. So do us a favor by doing that. If you're watching on Twitter, hit the retweet and wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Where is everybody watching from tonight? 225-318-504-985-337. 318, wherever you are, outside the state, representing the state, let us know in the comments where you're watching from tonight. All right, a couple super chats before we get rolling. Survivor Remorse with a $5 super chat says, I wonder if Sankey going to do something towards Heupel like he threatened Kiffin since Heupel inciting violence towards another coach, joke or not. All right, I was going to wait to get to this. Looks like I'm not going to be able to. So let's get to it really quickly. In case you missed it, Josh Heupel was asked by Baton Rouge's own Chesa Boucher, do you think the fan base of Tennessee has calmed down? That when Lane Kiffin arrives, that they will, you know, the bad tension will have passed. I'm not quoting her, but it's basically what she's saying. And Heupel did make the remark of, I hope that all of the stores have mustard and golf balls. I hope that they're still pissed off and ready for Lane Kiffin. So when we play him in November, what was he really saying? What he was really saying was, hey, I hope it's loud. We need all the help we can get. LSU's a tough opponent. They're going to be at our place. We need all the help that we can get. It was a joke. However, some people are going to take that seriously. Now, here is the problem that I have. It's not that I think that Josh Heupel, like, I'm not mad that he made the joke. I kind of think it's a little funny, tongue-in-cheek. I don't really care that he, you know, he's trying to poke fun. He doesn't mean it literally. Guys, he doesn't mean it literally. However, to Survivor Remorse's comments, and in case you, like, what do you even, what does the mustard mean? What does the golf balls mean? The last time that Lane Kiffin went to Tennessee and to Knoxville's Ole Miss's head coach, they threw mustard bottles and golf balls at him. I think a lot of you got to remember that. The thing for me, the first thing that I thought about when he said that was, the SEC made a statement in reference to potentially sanctioning Lane Kiffin for the Vanity Fair comments talking about the state of Mississippi, talking about players saying, hey, I don't know if I want to send my son to Ole Miss. There's been a lot of issues, which, again, was taken out of context. Oh, and by the way, not to be political, are you seeing what's going on in the state of Mississippi right now with current life events? Yet again, the state of Mississippi is going through issues. So here's what's my problem. My problem was is that you said that you potentially would hit Lane with some stuff and say that you'd hit him with a fine potentially because of the Vanity Fair. You can't be talking ill about members of the conference like that. What happens even if it's a joke? Like, even if Lane was joking, even if Heupel was joking, what if those fans take that seriously? Guys, there are dummies. Like, I dealt with a dummy today. In real life, not on the internet. Even if he was joking, there are going to be some dumbasses that take that literally. So you'll say that about Lane. What is your response going to be to Heupel? I don't think anything should come from Lane. If that is his belief and his opinion, you're allowed under the Constitution to have an opinion. I have an entire show that's based off of an opinion. I don't think anything should come of Heupel. Now, let me ask you this. What is going to happen if those fans do take that literally and throw mustard and golf balls at him again? You have two situations of Lane going back to places where he's not really well liked. It's going to be must-watch TV. So when we talked about earlier that every eyeball, majority of all the college football eyeballs will be on you every week, you think we're joking? Guys, we're talking about mustard and golf balls being thrown at the man. No, God knows what's going to happen in Oxford this year. God only knows. What do you think about that? I don't think anything should happen to either one of them. I fully believe that Josh Heupel was joking. Just a really bad overall joke. Get Gutter with a $5 super chat says in a North Korean voice, they hate us because they ain't us. The interview, in case y'all didn't know. Yes, that is what I was referring to. I forget what the movie's called. But yes, they hate us because they ain't us. That is the truth. That is the truth. All right, I see a couple in here. Vance is in the 985. Good to have you in here with us. Weathernut 80. You think he's following Big Bertha? I'm assuming he's following Big Bertha. J-Mine 1991 says 919. He says, what the F is up, Blake? Not much. Hope everything's good with you. MD says, nevertheless, we are live. That we are. Good to have you all of us, all of you in here with us. Where is everybody watching from? I don't see many of these. MD says he's in the 225 at his house. Good to have you in here. My man, Bo. Bo Leavenicks. Did y'all see Bo Leavenicks chase edit like a 30-minute video of all the funny AYS sayings? First off, Chase, you're a real one for that. And I'm assuming that Big Back Bertha is going to be clipped again tonight. Big Back Bertha will be clipped. Because here he is, Big Bertha. Big Bertha. I mean, it's not even technically a named storm yet. I kind of hope it gets there so we get to name it Bertha and then goes down, you know, so nobody really gets hit. I want Big Back Bertha. I want Big Back Bertha. Pause. You got to love Big Back Bertha. John is in the 706. Georgia is in the building. Good to have you in here with us. And official AD is in the 985. Good to have you in here with us as well. All right. We got lots that we need to get into. LSU scheduling. What does it mean? Why are they doing it? We'll get into that. Also, Greg Sankey met with the media today. We got to talk on that nine-game conference schedule. Kind of lines with what LSU is doing. Some other things that Greg Sankey said today. We'll get into that as well. I'm missing something massive. I don't have something written down. During the break, I know we have another topic. I'm going to find it on my chicken scratch of handwriting. Until then, we got lots that we need to get into. Need to tell you about our partners over at 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports. Go over to Go247. I know that Zach Nagy has a massive piece coming out this week. You're going to want to be a part of the members. Only content over at Go247. Use the promo code AYS60 at checkout. That's AYS60 at checkout. You'll get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. Become a member of what we are building over at Go247 Sports today by using that promo code. That way that they know that Blake sent you on by. All right, let me get to a big break. Let me get to a break. We got lots of LSU stuff to discuss. Stay with us.
He will sell your house and find you anew. Well, Tyler's the man, he's here for you. If you want to buy or sell, well, it's not too late. Dial 955-0008. Just call 955-0008. Y'all call Tyler, he'll shoot you straight.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Red Stick Financial. They're your local residential mortgage broker located right here in the heart of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At Red Stick Financial, they find the bank that works for your particular set of needs to purchase the home of your dreams or refinance the current one. They truly are your partners in this process, and they pride themselves in helping individuals and families with one simple goal in mind, and that is to make home financing approachable, attainable, and stress-free. They are licensed in all Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So from Amarillo to Meridian and everything in between, they have you covered. Red Stick Financial brings you creative, customized solutions, and they don't believe in the one-size-fits-all when it comes to loans. They even have special options for mobile and manufactured homes located in a flood zone and stated income financing for those of us who are self-employed borrowers. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, or simply want to know what options are out there for your future,
Give Red Stick Financial a call today at 225-407-9250. That's 225-407-9250. Or check them out online at redstickfinancial.com. That's redstickfinancial.com. Before you purchase the home of your dreams or you go and do that refinance, you need to go local. Go Red.
We're back.
All right, let's get to it here.
So, the actions the last couple of days by LSU when it comes to scheduling, there's a lot of going on here that ties into one another. So this is what we're going to do. You and I are going to talk about briefly what Greg Sankey had said today, not that long, but LSU made some schedule changes today. They canceled the home and home with Arizona State. We will get to. They announced other games that they will be participating in, scheduling, and we are going to talk about as to why. We got to start off, however, of why this is going on. Because Greg Sankey was asked today about the nine games inside the SEC, he was asked about the playoff, he was asked about so many things at SEC Media Days today. So, in case you missed it, there really wasn't anything that Greg Sankey said that we didn't already know. We knew that we were going to nine conference games, clearly. And at the time, we talked about how this was dumb for the SEC. We'll get to that in a minute. He did talk about the college football playoff. There's no stance change. If you ask me, I don't agree with an expanded playoff to 24. You can go to Ruffino and Joe show and listen to my reasons, right, for really the reasons as to why. Greg Sankey was asked, and the main focus today was about him talking about transparency. There is no real transparency in the SEC. He was asked multiple times about officiating and umpiring. And he backed them because that's just what Greg Sankey does. These are split-second decisions. Yeah, that you should be getting right. The SEC last year, as an example, had 10 teams out of the 16. 10 in the hundreds when it came to penalties. Let me rephrase what I just said. 10 teams in the SEC for penalty yardage were in the hundreds nationally. And penalty yards, yeah, you have a problem, my guy. So he defended them. But there were no real changes other than two things. Greg Sankey was asked about potentially separating themselves from the NCAA. In the conversation of Greg Sankey stating that there's a very real possibility that the SEC could get away from being a part of the NCAA, I think is a ploy. The reason that I believe that this is a ploy is because he is trying to strong arm Senator Ted Cruz. He is trying to strong arm Senator Maria Cantwell because he does not agree, nor should he, with the Protect College Sports Act. I would suggest that a lot of you that are just coming back in should go and read it. The SEC does not want to pull media rights. And quite honestly, they don't want to be told if they are able to bring in other teams to the conference if they deem it. Really, if they just deem it that it will be better for the conference. Like, as an example, the Protect College Sports Act had an amendment today where you can't exceed above 19 teams in any form of expansion. Sounds good. The SEC is at 16, so technically they could add two more before they even get to that. So if North Carolina and Duke wanted to be added for basketball reasons, by all means, do it. Wouldn't affect LSU from a football perspective. Now, it very well could affect them from a baseball perspective, but it would definitely make them better in a basketball perspective. I'm just using that as hypothetically. The main truth about it all is today that the SEC made a statement, hey, we're not going to back the Protect College Sports Act, mainly due to the fact that we don't agree with the media pulling rights. We just talked about that at great length on Ruffino and Joe. I'm not going to spend a lot of time of it here because this is very LSU generated. I back him with it. I agree with him. I just feel that there's no real need to back a bill where Texas Tech, Baylor, teams in the ACC should be able to pull their views and combine them with the SEC for one massive TV deal. Like, I don't mean this in a wrong way. there are a lot of really good podcasts that are starting around LSU. Imagine all of us having to pull all of our views together for one big sponsor. That's not fair to me. How is that fair to me? How is that fair to 104.5? How is that fair to all of the dudes that get massive views? Why would they do that for somebody more, I don't mean this in a wrong way, because I used to be there, more lower on the totem pole? Why would you do that? Makes no sense. And I'm using my situation so that nobody gets offended. At least I'm sure somebody will, but you get the gist of what I'm saying. That is the reason why Greg Sankey talked about that. Really, it's not about the NCAA and them being able to enforce any rules. Do you believe that Greg Sankey really would ever enforce any rules? Like, I'm serious when I ask you this. Do you really believe that Greg Sankey would ever really enforce rules? He still has yet to come out of a comment about the situation surrounding Ole Miss and Clemson. And he even told you that today in the standalone meeting with Greg Sankey. He stated, and I quote, that we don't even have a framework of what it would look like for the SEC to disavow themselves from the NCAA. And it would be a problem for the SEC if they didn't come up with a very workable solution. Guys, the national championships in basketball and baseball and softball and track and field and in so many other sports are ran by the NCAA. If the SEC were to leave the NCAA, are they not going to be allowed to go to Omaha? Like, for all of us baseball fans, that would suck. Could you imagine the season ending during the SEC tournament? That would suck. They can't do that, nor do I think that they will. And Greg Sankey stated, and I quote, "We do not want to go that route. However, if pushed, we can." He's trying to strong arm Senator Cruz and Senator Cantwell to make changes on a Protect College Sports Act. So do I believe the main thing coming out of the SEC media days today, of everything that Greg Sankey stated, do I believe that it would be a good framework for the NCAA to have some form of antitrust? Not completely, but we are at the final straw of this. We are at the straw that, if falled on the camel's back, will break that camel's back. Ain't nothing breaking Big Bertha's back, though. That I just love saying that. Big Bertha, I hope, is not going to get strong. I hope a straw does break Big Bertha's back. I don't want to go through that. I look at the situation that is, because they can't do it. It would vastly hurt what you're building with Will Wade. It would vastly hurt what you have with Jay Johnson. It would vastly hurt all of the great stuff that you do in track. You can't do it. They're not going to. Now, the second thing that came up today about Greg Sankey was that coaches came out and stated, Eli Drinkwitz said that there are multiple coaches now in the SEC that hate the 9-game conference schedule. Yeah, no shit. This is something that you and I have discussed at great length. In case you missed it, been in a coma, didn't realize it, the SEC has gone from 8 conference game schedule to a 9-game conference schedule. It was very stupid for them to do that. I understand their logic. So the logic for the SEC was a simple one. If strength of schedule is going to be weighed very heavily for the college football playoff, we will go to 9 conference games. We will swallow the fact that we kind of already have it made now, where we have such a strong conference that 8 games gets us very, very much high strengths of schedule. We will do it if it means more money, and especially if it means that it will be weighed that more SEC teams will get in. Here's the problem. Now everybody is coming to the realization, most coaches are coming to the realization, that it's not going to be a fair game. Because as an example, look at LSU's schedule this season. You play a potential playoff team in Ole Miss. You play a potential team, a playoff team in Texas A&M. You play a potential playoff team in Alabama. You play a potential playoff team in Texas. God knows what Tennessee's going to be. And because the ACC is so trash, Gus, what if Clemson goes 9-3 this year and finds himself back into an ACC title game like they did 2 years ago? Because I will remind you, we haven't got into Clemson yet, but Tyler Brown is a really good receiver. Bryant Wesco is a really good receiver. TJ Brown is a really good receiver. They have really big weapons. Sammy Brown is a really good linebacker. Will Held is a really good edge player. They still got two really good interior defensive linemen. Yes, Clemson might not be a great team, but they got really good players. They don't suck. So five of the 12 team or 12 games, almost close to half of your schedule, is going up against potential teams that eventually could find themselves in the playoff. Now, let me throw this at you again. What happens when you have to add a Georgia into that mix? Because next year, you have to throw Georgia into that mix. What happens when you have to have a schedule like upcoming years where you have Bama, Texas, Georgia, where you have to play two teams that will be rivals to you? They're inside of your purview of teams that you have to play when you have to play A&M. When you have to play Ole Miss, yeah, it's not created equally. Not even remotely close to being equal to what any team in the Big 12 has to face or any team in the ACC has to face. Quite frankly, even to what the Big 10 standards are, it's not remotely close. You can say that I am an SEC homer, but I don't do strength of schedule metrics. So let's look at the last 2 years. You look at the preseason strength of schedule where you have 14 teams in the top 15 of strength of schedule going into the season. LSU is involved in that. You look at last year at the end of the regular season of the top 15 teams with the top strength of schedules, the SEC had 14 of the top 15 teams in. Go figure. What happens when you go to 9 conference games? It gets tougher. It's only going to get tougher. So why was it a problem for the SEC to do that? Because the College Football Playoff Committee came out and said, we are going to definitely weigh strength of schedule as a higher metric than we've done in the past. And yet last season, they didn't do it. They put Texas Tech as the number 4 overall seed going into the playoff when they didn't remotely deserve it. Texas had the number 2 strength of schedule last year, and it didn't help them at all. Vanderbilt had a number 12 strength of schedule. They were a 10-2 team, and they didn't make the playoff. Well, their resume, they had a top 15 strength of schedule, and they were 10-2 in that schedule, and they didn't do what now? It makes it much more difficult for the SEC. It makes it much more difficult in what you got to go through week to week. Now let's tie this into LSU. Lane Kiffin stated when he was in front of the LSU media, he stated when he was in front of the national media, he stated every single little chance that he gets, going to the 9-game conference schedule is dumb. Excuse me. It is dumb because when I look at Penn State, because Penn State misses all of the big teams in the Big Ten this year. They miss all of them but one. There's a strong chance they could go 10-2. And because they're a 10-win Big Ten team, they didn't have to go through what an LSU, a potential 9-3 or 10-2 LSU team has to go through. You look at this situation and say, what about the wear and tear of the reality that goes into the regular season? When your team is getting the shit beat out of them over and over and over again, yeah, that is a problem for you. Georgia had a top 5 strength of schedule last year. Guys, their team was beat to living hell. Want to know why Georgia can't get out of the top 8? Because look at the schedule that they're facing. Guys, they're facing top 5 strength of schedules, and they only had to play 8 conference games. What happens when you add a 9th? So LSU came out with a statement over the last couple of days that in 2027 that they are going to be starting off the season with Northwestern State. And in 2028, they're going to start off the season with ULM and Southern. In 2030, which I love this, Tulane comes back to Baton Rouge. The Battle of the Rag is what the rivalry is technically called. You get Tulane, arguably the biggest brand outside of LSU in the state, and a bitter rival back on your schedule. LSU also is going to be canceling the 29 and 30 games in the home and home with Arizona State. So what is happening here? It is very simple. Lane has made it very clear. Why would we go out there and test ourselves in the beginning of the season? And he has been very vocal on why would we go play in Ohio State? Why would we go and play some of these teams when the College Football Playoff Committee is not weighing it and helping us in weighing it for us to get to a College Football Playoff? Why would we play those teams when we got to go through a 9-game conference schedule? Guys, it is as simple to see why you're adding Southern, why you've added ULM, why you have added Northwestern State, why you have added Tulane. Why would we put ourselves in that purview when we got to go through a 9-game conference schedule of beating the shit out of our team week after week after week after week? Why would we do that in the non-conference? Indiana did it. Guys, look at Indiana's non-conference the last 2 years. It was horrendous. Look at Ohio State's schedule last year. Texas was the toughest team that they played in the regular season. Look at Penn State's schedule. Look at teams in the Big 12. Look at teams in the ACC. Their schedules are extremely soft. So why would I put my team through that if I don't have to? But let me tell you something also that it states. It also states that Lane Kiffin is signifying to the world that we're going to be here. Virge Allsbury and company, who Virge has been overscheduling for a long time, Lane, I'm assuming, went to them and said, look, man, we're not doing this. If we want to build a contender, no one cares if we beat Clemson in week one. Because God forbid we slip up to an Ohio State or an Arizona State or this team or that team. They're not going to weigh it for us. Look at Texas. Guys, I can make the argument last year that a 9-3 Texas team deserved to be in the playoff over multiple 10-2 teams. They deserved it because their resume and strength of schedule should have gotten them in there. Well, Blake, they lost to a 4-8 Florida team. That same 4-8 Florida team had the same number of draft picks, this exact same number of draft picks that Indiana, who was a national champion, had. So you're going to have to now tell me, how is that created equally? Because sports are never created equally. The SEC, whether, and you can call me a homer all you want, it is not created equally. They don't care if you beat Clemson. Here's what the College Football Playoff Committee has shown you year upon year upon year. The Playoff Committee has shown you that they will change their metrics on the fly, quick, fast, and in a hurry. The College Football Playoff Committee has shown you that at the end of the day, it only matters about record. The College Football Playoff Committee tells you that they have no real idea what's going on. Because if you look at a 9-3 Texas team last year, if you look at what they went through, guys, they beat Vanderbilt, who was top 15 on the outside of the playoffs looking in. They beat Texas A&M, who was a playoff team. They beat Oklahoma, who was a playoff team. Their losses were to the SEC champion, Ohio State, and to a very bad Florida team. Yes, you can say, well, Blake, just don't lose to Florida. Okay, sounds good. What about if Oklahoma would have played Ohio State to start the season and they would have lost? Texas had no business being outside and Oklahoma being in. Especially not only being in, having a home playoff game when Alabama went in there, and I get they beat Bama, but they lost week one. Everybody just wants to look at the record. And as I have said once on this show, as I will say 1,000 times, Your record never indicates who you truly are. Context is never added by these college football playoff committee people because they don't need to. They just get to do what they want. Hunter Yurecek is sitting there doing 6'7". He has no idea what's going on. Guys, he's an AD for Arkansas. He can't be the athletic director of Arkansas going through a coaching search. You think he's watching every single game? Hell no, he's not watching every single game. So what is going on with LSU in this scheduling debacle? It's not really even debacle. I don't even know why I said that. What's going on? They are just telling you that when they have to go through the season and they have to go up against Bama, they have to go up against Ole Miss, they have to go up against A&M, they have to go up against Texas, they have to go up against Florida, who I think John Summerall has done a good job. They have to go up against Tennessee. They have to go up against Missouri. They think that it is a situation where we're going through a brutal schedule already. We have a top 15 strength of schedule already. Why would we put ourselves through that when the ACC as a conference is trash? When the Big 12 conference is trash, they don't have to go through the same things that we do. So here's the argument. Everybody wants to paint this as the Big 10 versus the SEC. It shouldn't be the Big 10 versus the SEC. Ohio State's got a really tough schedule this season. I think USC's got a really tough schedule this season. The Big 12, they don't go through the same thing. The ACC, they don't go through the same thing. And what Lane is saying, listen, if we want the best chance to get ourselves to a playoff, this is how we got to do it. And I agree. The College Football Playoff Committee is filled with a whole bunch of Rudy Poos, dudes that can't get no women, guys that have no idea what a backside guard has to do with a three tech on opposite side zone. They have no clue what they're looking at. They have no clue. They look at records and records alone. So if they want to only look at the records, sounds good. Why would we challenge ourselves? Now, what does that mean? Well, Blake, we want really competitive games. We want LSU to play really competitive games. I'm with you. But at least LSU is going to start the season at home from now on. Because LSU has not started. I don't think they've started this season at home since Joe Burrow was here. It was at Georgia Southern. You went to New Orleans for Florida State. Then you went to Orlando. Then you went to Vegas with USC. And then last year, you went to Clemson. Am I missing anything? No, Mississippi State. Sorry. COVID 2020. You started the season against Mississippi State at home. But I don't even really, like, I don't even really think about COVID. Like, that year was so crazy. So even if you go through COVID, in the Brian Kelly era, you never started a series. You never started a season, rather, excuse me, starting off the season at home. I'd rather that happen. I'd rather you work out the kinks week one against an opponent you can work kinks out against when you have a brutal schedule in front of you. Lane told you when he came here what he was going to do. Want to know what the real reasoning behind the LSU schedules, bringing in Tulane in 2030, bringing in ULM, bringing in Southern, bringing in Northwestern State? Why would we challenge ourselves like that? Why would we put ourselves in that situation when the College Football Playoff Committee said, yeah, we're not gonna judge it? And here's the thing. The Big Ten has already done it. Guys, USC didn't schedule Notre Dame this year. Indiana did not play a P4 opponent out of conference last year or the year before. Penn State did not play a conference or team outside of the Big Ten or didn't play a Power 4 opponent to start the season. And they're being rewarded for it. Why shouldn't we? It's smart. In reference to adding Tulane in 2030, I love it. Tulane has had a lot of success. They made a playoff last year. They've had a lot of success under Willie Fritz. They had a lot of success under John Summerall. And it's a rivalry game. Good. Bring him in here and let's settle this finally. Tulane has had a lot of things to say about LSU. Tulane fans have had a lot of things to say about LSU. At least we didn't go on Ole Miss and get creamed. No pause or lube. We didn't get creamed the way that you did twice. LSU was in a one-score game with Ole Miss, and they sucked. It just proved that you sucked a little bit worse than we did. All right. Let me get to a quick break. We'll come back. We'll finish out. We'll take some thoughts, questions, concerns. We'll talk about more about SEC Media Days moving forward. So do us a favor if you haven't done so already, by the way. Subscribe down below if you haven't done so. Hit that notification bell. We greatly appreciate it. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. But subscribe down below. Let us get to a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Guys, let me tell you about our good friends over at Grand Slam Heating and Air, where your comfort is their top priority. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they promise to provide customers with high-quality HVAC service at an affordable price while ensuring the homeowner peace of mind. From their office to your home, they guarantee the best hassle-free experience around. Efficiency and comfort is their game. Let them make your home Grand Slam today. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they're offering their annual maintenance plan starting off at $18.75 a month, and also doing those $99 tune-up promotion. They provide free estimates for system and ductwork replacement, as well as offering financing to get the job done with no money up front. From Baton Rouge to Hammond to Covington, they're all around. So what you need to do today, give them a call at 225-380-9065. That's 225-380-9065. Or go over to their website, getgrandslamair.com. That's getgrandslamair.com. Air.com, where your comfort is their top priority.
Guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over the Drake Williams Law Firm, drakewilliamslawfirm.com. If you've been injured in a car wreck or have questions about a personal injury claim, call the Drake Williams Law Firm today. Ernie Drake and Ryan Williams represent injury victims all across the great state of Louisiana. Serving Louisiana families since 1981, whether you're in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Shreveport, or the great parish of Tangipahoa, the Drake Williams Law Firm is ready to help. With local roots and statewide representation, give them a call right now. 985-386-7600. That's 985-386-7600. And when you do, you will get a free consultation. The Drake Williams Law Firm, where they've been serving Louisiana families since 1981. When your business, your farm, or your equipment needs fuel, you need someone that you can trust. At Crump Fuel, they deliver quality gasoline, diesel, and lubricants with honest service and local pride across South Louisiana and South Mississippi. From construction sites, marinas, convenience stores, and trucking companies, all the way down to generators and everyday operations, Crump Fuel keeps you rolling. Crump Fuel is family-owned and family-operated. With high-quality and dependable delivery, they're always going to bring that competitive pricing. Call Crump Fuel today at 985-229-4976 or visit them over at crumpfuel.com. That's 985-229-4976 or visit them at crumpfuel.com today. Crump Fuel, where they're fueling the Gulf South in the right way.
We're back! Oh.
I see this from Paul Sub. He says, P4 opponent still required. It is Houston next year, SMU 28-29. Utah 31-32, but be interesting to see who will fill in 2030. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Paul Sub, here's what I think is going to happen. I do believe that the SEC before then is going to remove that. That's my opinion. I don't have really any backing other than some rumors. Now, going up against Houston, SMU, and Utah is a little bit easier than going through what you went through in the past. But I don't think that they should have that provision in there at all. Now, I've seen today that a lot of people have wanted to come out and like poo-poo the SEC for doing that. Why don't you poo-poo Indiana? Like, let's look it up. Indiana this year to start the season has North Texas, Howard, Western Kentucky, Northwestern, at Rutgers, at Nebraska, then they have Ohio State. You can't look, guys, the thing about the SEC or SEC teams talking about difficult schedules, look at halfway through the season of what Indiana's got to go through. North Texas, Howard, Western Kentucky, Northwestern, at Rutgers, at Nebraska. Yes, then you eventually get Ohio State at Michigan, and then a couple weeks after that, after Halloween, you have a bye week, and then you have USC. That's a joke. That is a joke. Y'all know that, and I know that. I look at 2025 as an example. They had Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, Indiana State, Iowa, who they almost lost to, Illinois, who was really beat up, Michigan State, UCLA. I mean, UCLA was a joke. Maryland, Penn State was a joke. Wisconsin, and Purdue. Guys, they beat Oregon in the regular season. But in the regular season, they missed Ohio State. They missed Washington. They missed USC. They didn't play the bigger teams. I mean, like, we could keep going. Let's go to 2024. They played FIU, Western Illinois, and Charlotte. Guys, it's a joke. It's a joke. I mean, I see Paul's upset they don't play until Notre Dame until 2030. Like, it's a complete and utter joke. All right. We got any super chats off in here? I don't believe that we do. Penn Jones has been a member for 9 months. His old piss told me last week $2,000 to park on campus. That's a joke. I would Uber to the edge of it. I would Uber to the edge of campus. There's no way in human hell I'm paying $2,000 for parking. No way in human hell. William says that Keelan Russell might be the real deal, folks. He very well may be. He said nobody knew Ty Simpson would be great. I mean, I think Keelan Russell very well could be. I mean, guys, again, we'll talk more about LSU. Like tomorrow, I'm really excited to talk about, like, we have a segment called Who is Sam Levitt? Like, I've done a deep dive on Sam Levitt over the last 3 weeks. I think it's going to be phenomenal. Keelan Russell could be a really good quarterback. Guys, I don't think enough people are talking about Bama as an example. I could see him going 9-3 and 10-2. I could, you know, or they can fall flat on their face. I don't know. You face a lot of really good quarterbacks. Marcel Reed, Trinidad Chambliss, Brown at Auburn, I think, is a decent quarterback. He might be the worst quarterback that you face. Kenny Minchie. Guys, Kamario Taylor is a dude. He is a flat-out dude. He is going to be difficult to contain. You have Arch Manning. You have potentially Keelan Russell. Faison Brandon, very well not, you know, I mean, he will be a freshman, but he's still extremely talented in whatever Ryan Silverfield's doing. It's not an easy slate. Mackey's on fire. Since in Texas got a 5-star water boy and their cup is still half full. not wrong. I mean, they're an extremely talented team, man. It's not easy. I don't get why Bud says it's easy. It's not. Like, you keep talking about it. Like, you keep talking about LSU schedule. Go talk about Indiana schedule. Go talk about Indiana schedule. It's softer than dog shit that's been put in the microwave for 10 minutes. I mean, it's soft. I don't really want to hear it. All right, we're out of here. We'll see y'all tomorrow. SEC Media Days, day two. I do think it's going to start getting a little interesting. At least I hope so. Till then, we'll see y'all soon. Y'all have a good night. Peace.